That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day here on Let's Face the Issues. We like to talk about issues, theological issues, biblical issues, church issues, issues about civil government, issues about society and what's happening in life. I believe that the Word of God from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation covers every aspect of life and living, including the fact that God created the home, He created the government, and He created the church, and He did so in that order. So any of those things that come under those umbrellas that we talk about are biblical issues. So as we face the biblical issues, I pray that we understand that we need to look at everything that takes place in life, local, national, international, and globally, whether it be in the political realm, the societal realm, church, theological, and doctrinally, look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say to us? How should we respond? You see, everything that God says in His Word is designed for our edification, that we might know God better, be drawn closer to Him. It's the progressive revelation of God to man. And as we think on that today, we're talking about seeing Jesus as the great I am. Seeing Jesus as the great I am. What does it mean to say I am? You keep in mind, and we'll look at the seven I ams in the book of the Gospel of John in a few moments. And I pray that as we do, it will be edifying to you, encouraging and challenging to you to understand why Jesus says I am. What does I am really mean? Ladies and gentlemen, you recall in the book of Exodus when God told Moses to go and say something to His people, then Moses asked the question, and I think it's very, very fascinating. Moses said and asked God, "When I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them that God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is His name? What shall I say unto them?" Verse 14 then in Exodus 3 says, "God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Now, how does that relate to Jesus saying I am? How does it relate to the I ams that Jesus says in the Gospel of John? We're going to talk about that today as we're approaching the Easter season. I believe it's necessary and needful, perhaps more than any other time, to understand who Jesus really is. Is Jesus God? Is He simply a myth? Is He a legend? Is He just a good teacher? Or is Jesus Christ God come into flesh? I believe that throughout the Scripture we'll find, as we studied that so often, so long, as you study what is called theologically and doctrinally Christology, we understand that Jesus Christ is 100% God and 100% man. The Bible says He's high, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. The Bible says of Jesus, He had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. That's because the perfection, the perfectness of Jesus Christ and His shed blood on Calvary's cross, that we can have everlasting life, eternal life, when we say yes to Him. So as we look at the issue today, and as we talk about that, after a brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. We'd love to hear from you as you ask questions, we'd be delighted to have the opportunity to search the scriptures and provide an answer to your questions in relation to the subject today. Seeing Jesus as the great I Am. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we do not base our issues and the answers about our issues and the discovery about issues upon denominational dogma, philosophical rhetoric, or some political jargon. We base the answers to the questions about issues in life on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book, John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus says this, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." That's one of the I Am's, by the way, we'll look at in our thoughts today about the subject of seeing Jesus as the great I Am. John 17, 17 says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God that we need to grasp, take hold of, and understand. It is not a matter of some denominational dogma that says this, that, or the other. By the way, one of the major problems in what is called Christendom today is the fact that we have so much dogma and so many denominational edicts that we fail to recognize that Jesus Christ is the only hope, the only way, and the only answer. And we'll talk about that in the I Am's. In Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says that the truth of the Lord endures forever. The problem is, if you want me to bring in a little negative tidbit, the problem is that most do not see the totality of truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said back many years ago, in fact, his dystopian novel entitled 1984, published about 1947, 48, and 49, was a few years ago. But George Orwell, the secularist, as the author of that dystopian novel, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're finding that to be factually true today. If you don't believe that, just watch what is taking place with Elon Musk and Doge and trying to uncover the waste, fraud, and abuse. And as a result of telling the truth, Elon Musk is getting his dealerships across the nation, Tesla dealerships, burned, bombed, and defaced. That's an example of when you stand and tell the truth, the retaliation that you find. Many today do not want to hear truth. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that stated, and I'm looking at the headline, DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Former Senator Jim DeMint said this, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity." I don't know if you've pondered that or not. I quote that quite often on this broadcast. But if you have the death of truth, it's because the truth, the source book of truth, is nothing other than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And we're finding today more and more churches across denominational lines are abandoning the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, abandoning the word of God, and going to a woke culture with the mindset that we need to appease culture in order to get all the pews filled and have the numbers, nickels, and noses in our churches. That's bringing about part and parcel of the great apostasy that's happening in America today with our churches. One of the problems that we find is coming from perhaps a source that you've not thought of. The latest survey says that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% of them say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, the millennials make this statement. Each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. Truth is truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we have mega half-truths today being touted as being truth. You find that from the socialist Marxist media. You find that from the socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party today. Across Democratic lines and Republican lines, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find multitudes that are wanting to reject and be repulsed by the fact of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, love the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that we'll love it, live it, learn it, tell it, and stand for it, speak it, even if we face death as we defend it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of brands for the homeowner like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. And the knowledgeable staff can answer questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Dr. Glenn Davis and Dr. Neil Phelps, two men that are holding my hands up day and evening in the leadership roles and professors and teaching in the Conservative Theological University. We're always delighted to have them, especially when both of them are available simultaneously to come in and talk about issues. Men, thank you so much for being here today. Dr. Davis drives a pretty long distance from up in Folkestone, Georgia. I'm delighted that he can be with us today for this special program. And for Dr. Phelps, thank you, thank you, thank you. Gentlemen, say something very briefly about why we're here, what we're doing, not getting into the subject yet. Then we'll start asking the questions, letting the listeners join in the dialogue and discussion.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. It's always a pleasure to be here. Again, amen, I want to say good morning to my bride of 39 years now. Praise God, and all my family and friends that are listening on today. And truly, amen, as you were saying in the monologue, amen, if you want to know the truth, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Mm-hmm. But if we want to really know the truth, Dr. Youngblood, the truth is printed. It's already here.
Yes.
It's that book called the Bible.
B-I-B-L-E.
Now, amen. If we don't, and let me say that, let me help you out just a little bit. I'm talking to the listening audience. If you don't believe that this whole book is the truth from cover to cover, you might as well stop right where you're at.
I tell people I believe it when it says genuine leather.
Amen.
On the cover.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps, thank you for being here. Speak to our listeners for a moment.
I'm so thankful for the Word of God, the Book of Truth, and I'm thankful that Jesus tells us about His Word in the book of John chapter 8. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Mm-hmm. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, those words that Jesus spoke are words that Jesus wanted us to hear to encourage us to continue, that is, to go on in the study of the Word of God. The word continue is used quite often in the scriptures to encourage us to keep on and stay in the faith, amen, stay true to the Word of God.
Amen.
And that's what we want to do here at the university and in our churches. We need to continue in God's Word. That's where the truth is.
Amen. Outside of the word, truth of the Word of God, anything can be said and touted as truth. That's the unfortunate thing. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Youngblood and gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody's doing well. Yes, sir.
Good. Thank you.
I don't know what religion it was, but when they said that Satan and Jesus were brothers, no, the Word of God said in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was nothing that was created without Yahshua, without Him. Am I right on that?
Amen. You're right on target with that. And one of the things that we want our listeners to understand, and each and every one needs to recognize, Jesus is God come into flesh. Jesus, in fact, when the question was asked in John 14, when it was asked, basically, I'm going to paraphrase, well, where are you going? How do we know? Et cetera, et cetera. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by, that little word is in the Greek text, dia, meaning that Jesus is the doorway, the pathway, the access to being able to be in heaven. And so I'm thankful for the fact that we can talk about, especially at Easter season. Many people celebrate Easter not realizing the emphasis of it, the importance of it, and the fact that Jesus Christ is God, but yet he shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary, died on the cross, bled, and was buried, and on the third day rose again. Why? Because he is God. Death cannot hold him down, and so I'm thankful for that. And so as we think about that subject today, and we think about the I Ams that we find in the Scripture, and we want to talk about those one at a time in a moment, but we had Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the way, truth, and the life. I'm the true vine. I'm the resurrection and the life. We're going to talk about those things today because each of those I Ams point to the fact that Jesus Christ is making a declaratory statement that I am God. So I'm thankful that you called, and thank you for your comments, and God bless you. Keep looking up. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Miranda, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Hello. I am hoping each of you gentlemen is having a good day. There's a quote by George Orwell as well. It's called, it says, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. And that's very true in these times that we live in, because we see things where they're being portrayed to us as one thing and they're not at all. And we have a lot of deceivers out there. In fact, I'd say the news media is one of the biggest, the mainstream news is one of the biggest deceivers we have.
Absolutely.
And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for Christ this day, though, and I'm asking each of you gentlemen to have me in your prayers. I'm dealing with a situation in my work life that is very unjust, how I'm being treated, and I'm just asking for your prayers to just remember me in your prayers. But I just love your show, and I listen to it every day. And I get so much comfort and strength from it, and you just don't know how much you've helped me through a time I've gone through grief, as you have, losing your son. And it's very comforting. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Miranda, thank you for your call, and we'll certainly be praying for you. In fact, I could just philosophically, theoretically say, get us a big hammer and tell us where to go, and we'll handle the problem. But I realize it's far more complicated than that, so we'll be praying for you. And I'm thankful for your call and for your continued stand. And yes, it is. I'm praying that this broadcast each day is not just informative, but a challenge for life and living, and a comfort and encouragement to those that tune in each and every day. And I'm so thankful. I see people as I'm going out and about in the highways and the hedges, see people all the time saying, I hear you on the radio, I listen to the broadcast, I hear you when you preach. And it's always a blessing, encouragement, and it's so humbling to know that people are listening, tuned in, and it's a blessing to them as they tune in. And so thank you for your faithfulness. And thank you for your continued tuning in. Tell others about it. Love to hear them join, but we'll certainly be praying for you. Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, you can take turns responding to this. But when we talk about the I Ams, take a moment and let's do the nexus, tying together why Jesus says, I am, and how that ties to the Old Testament with God saying, I am. What do you find is the connection there, and why is that so important? Each one of you state something about that.
You want to go ahead?
Jesus said in John chapters 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. We believe he was referring to the oneness of God the Father, God the Son. And in that chapter, he also pointed out that the Jewish leaders had accused him of blasphemy because he had said, I am the Son of God. That's a quotation from John 10. and verse 36. Apparently, Jesus had said very plainly, I am the Son of God. That's a great teaching that we find that's taught not only in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament as well. Because the very second chapter of the Psalms, that God had said to the Son, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Mm-hmm. So God intended from the very beginning to send his Son to represent the God of heaven, and he is truly God manifest in the flesh.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Davis, what say you?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, here's what I get from that, basically. If you want to know who the great I Am is, he is that I Am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's the one. He is that one that I Am. So now, if we go all the way back, like Dr. Phelps said, at the genesis of things, in the book of Exodus, when he first revealed himself to Moses as I Am that I Am, if I may put it in my own words, I think that's the seed bed. Mm-hmm. From which all the other I Am's come forth from.
Absolutely.
When you look at everything else that Jesus had to say in connection with that, all the way over, it carries all the way over to the book of Revelation, when he said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So, again, that's where all the other I Am's come from, that seedbed, amen, that God first revealed himself to Moses in the book of Exodus.
Absolutely. It was right on target with that statement. When Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees, and the question was, who do you think that you are? I'm paraphrasing. The Pharisees hated him. He, speaking of Jesus, and they challenged him basically saying, who do you think that you are? And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. And he wanted them to understand, I'm God. Is what he's saying. They challenged him, says, you know, Abraham's not even 50 years old. How can you say, you're not even 50 years old. How can you say that you're before Abraham? And he's going back and back and back, as you said, to the Exodus text, referring to God saying, I am that I am. And Jesus is saying, I am God. Dr. Phelps.
Well, when he said that to those Jewish leaders, he was trying to let them know that he is eternal God.
Eternal God.
Yeah, right. I am.
Not
eternal one.
Yeah, not just a, how would you say, a temporary God. He is eternal.
Amen. Amen.
And by the way, when he said that, they understood what he was saying. And so what did they want to do? They wanted to stone him simply because he made that statement. They hated him because Jesus Christ was God incarnate, God come into flesh.
And then here's another thing, Dr. Youngblood. Even when we look at the book of Exodus, as I began to read down through that, if we go back over to verse number 8, he told them, Exodus 3 and 8, that I am come down to deliver you. Mm-hmm. So, in short, anything we need him to be, if you need a healer, I am.
That's right.
If you need a deliverer, I am. If you need a provider, I am. And it still means the same thing for us, even more today, because back then, the Holy Spirit didn't live within the believers' hearts. But now today, we have a greater advantage because the Holy Spirit lives within us. So he's right there to remind us of who God is right now today. He's still the great I Am.
I Am. And by the way, I've always said this, and I don't think I originated, but I can't quote, I tell you who I'm quoting it from, but I'm pretty certain that it was not original of me, but I'm quoting it, that the I Am is a blank check. I Am's not a complete statement, not a complete sentence. I Am what? You fill in the blank. I am whatever you need, fill in that blank.
Amen.
And God is saying, I am that need being met. Yes.
Amen.
Jesus further said in the Revelation 1:8, verse 8, I am the Alpha and Omega. Now, that's the wording in that language. In our language, he's from A to Z. and everything in between.
All the alphabet.
Amen.
You just name it. Jesus says, I'm the fulfillment of that in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Would love to hear from you as we talk about a very important subject. I believe it's important as we think about who Jesus Christ is. Many go through the Easter celebration, the Easter season, Resurrection Sunday, as we call it, but go through that season thinking of it as just another day off or another opportunity to have fellowship and friendship with family and others, another time to do special events, etc. It is far, 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 far more than that. We're celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had conquered death and the grave, and as we'll look at in a moment in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, because Jesus Christ arose, it is the guarantee, it's the down payment, it's the future fact that we're going to rise again. Death is not the end. Death is not the finality of it. If Jesus Christ conquered sin, death, and the grave, and we know him as Savior and as Lord, one day we'll rise again to be with him. Death is not the end. That telephone is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. So, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, what we want our listeners to understand is that Jesus Christ is not just man. Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. I use the term, in fact, my major research project back less than 100 years ago culminated in the book titled Could Jesus Sin, 224 pages. And the key to that is pointing out that Jesus Christ had no sin, did no sin, and could do no sin. Why is that so? Because he is God come into flesh. And so the point that we want us to understand today is the I Am's are referring back to the great I Am, which is God himself, and Jesus Christ is saying, I am God. I believe we have Santiago on the phone. Go ahead with your comment, please.
Yes, God bless you all. Yes, that's why he said when he said in John that I am the way, when I am the door. And I am in the Old Testament, that's why he said Yahweh is the meaning of I am. And why they don't use at that time, and what do you call in Hebrew, the first letter is Alex, and the last one is Tat. And in Greek, it's Alpha and Omega. That's why the language at that time, it was the Greek. That's why Jesus used the Alpha and the Omega. And it's the only way that we can go to the Father. And that's what I have to say. And God bless you and have a nice weekend. And thank you for your program, Dr. John Blood.
Santiago, thank you so much. You're a blessing and encouragement. Always good to hear from you. We're thankful for your call, and you're exactly right. When we look at it, Jesus is the beginning to the end and everything in between. And by the way, we can not only just take that philosophically and theologically and doctrinally, but we can take it literally that whatever happens in your life, in my life, we're not walking alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is walking with us every step of the way, from the Alpha to the Omega, from the beginning to the end. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and we need to recognize that. And I'm thankful for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. In the Gospel of John, Jesus used this phrase, I am, seven times. And as he uses that seven times, as we approach Easter, we need to understand the reality of who Jesus is, understand why he came. He's 100% God. He's 100% man. And yet, as 100% God and 100% man, he conquered death, sin, death, and the grave. And the celebration of Easter is our recognition of that, our celebration, that he's not dead, he's alive. And as the old song goes, he arose, hallelujah, Christ Jesus arose. And that's the key to understanding our Easter celebration, Easter season, but we need to know who Jesus is. In just a moment, we're going to talk about the seven I Am's in the Gospel of John. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection and the life. If any of those I Am's that you're concerned about, you question, you want to know how is it so, what is the understanding of it, how does it apply to us? That's what we're going to talk about right after the top of the hour news break. We're going to talk about the I Ams, and each of these I Ams, we're going to look at it, analyze it, what does it say, and then how does it apply to your life and to my life. You see, any biblical text, we need to understand it, and we need to be able to apply it in our lives. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTR.